people are itching to travel again, and we're getting advice from the doctor on what precautions to take for those vacation plans. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The CDC says fully vaccinated people can resume normal activities like before the pandemic, but masks are required on planes, buses, trains, other forms of public transportation, in the airport too. That's CDC guidance updated last week. Do you have questions about COVID or how to travel with unvaccinated kids? What do you want to know about treating the disease at this point? 800-642-1234 to join in. Dr. Mary Beth Graham is an internal medicine and infectious disease specialist at the Medical College of Wisconsin. She's medical director of infection prevention and control at Frederick Hospital. Dr. Graham, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning.
Good morning. Let's look at COVID vaccinations first. 41% of Wisconsinites fully vaccinated, more than 5 million doses administered, but the number of shots into arms is falling week to week. What do you see in Wisconsin's vaccination numbers?
I'm incredibly encouraged that we got to over 40%. With other vaccines that are usually recommended, like influenza, we rarely have gotten above that number. So I'm happy to see it. I truly wish that people would, again, roll up their sleeves so that we could get to that higher number, hopefully that 60, 70 plus percent number. I know the media and literature has suggested 70, 80% of the population being vaccinated to have that herd immunity. So if people have not gotten it, if they have questions about safety of the vaccine, side effects from the vaccine, there's a lot on social media, but if you have other questions, please call in today. I'd be glad to talk about it.
Well, you know, you mentioned herd immunity, and Dr. Anthony Fauci, the health advisor to the White House, says we should not focus too much on herd immunity. But here we are talking about it. When will, you know, COVID be unlikely to spread because enough people have immunity either through exposure or vaccination? What are your thoughts on herd immunity for Wisconsin?
So I think it all depends on, you can look at herd immunity, and I can understand why Dr. Fauci made that comment. If you look at the population as a whole, and if you were to take just all the population always being together, in order to have, if somebody's infected, there needs to be another person near them that would be susceptible so that you can continue to propagate the virus and continue to spread it. And the major concern is that when that virus replicates and spreads to other people, that's when the virus has a chance to change itself. Potentially a variant would emerge, et cetera, which I know people may have questions about. So part of it, I think, is focusing in on, I think what the CDC is trying to do when they're saying fully vaccinated individuals, when you're with other fully vaccinated people, or with your, when you're with your usual group of individuals, you can start to be, you can essentially be more, I don't want to call it less, more free, but not wear your mask, you know, be together, not social distance when you're with those groups. But if you are in groups where you are with larger groups with people that you don't know, and again, public transportation, airplanes, et cetera, or going to a concert, et cetera, think about wearing a mask because you don't know the vaccination status nor the potential of, you know, of spread of the virus. So I think that as people figure out their movements, again, getting back to their groups, their pods, whatever you want to call them, it can make it, the summer's going to be, we're all looking forward to a great summer. People can have wonderful times this summer. But again, think about that environment that you're going into with family and friends. Don't wear your mask. Do this. If you're going to something like a concert, et cetera, I would suggest maybe consider wearing a mask because social distancing would be difficult and the number of people there. And you don't know because we still are less than 50% vaccinated to consider wearing a mask.
We're talking with Dr. Mary Beth Graham, who is an internal medicine infectious disease specialist at the Medical College of Wisconsin. She's giving us the latest on COVID vaccines, what it means for summer travel, gatherings. You can join in with your questions. What questions do you have about COVID, about treatment? Are you still on the fence about getting a COVID vaccine? Join in your questions front and center, 800-642-1234. Dr. Graham, Andrew commented on Facebook to ask, does keeping mask mandates in place for people who are fully vaccinated, does that undermine the idea that the COVID vaccines work?
So I think that, again, the mask mandates, the reason people are confused, and I'll be honest, when these recommendations first came out, many of us in healthcare were also confused. So the mask mandates, when they lifted those for people who are fully vaccinated, it is in certain situations, but not in other situations. So in healthcare, we still have a mask mandate in healthcare. Again, public transportation. I think CDC is looking at those as environments where either.
I think we just lost Dr. Graham. Are you there? We're having a little outage here with Dr. Mary Beth Graham. Can you hear us? Nope, I think we've lost Dr. Mary Beth Graham. We'll try to get her here on the phone as we look at summer travel and COVID. Dr. Graham is an internal medicine and infectious disease specialist at the Medical College of Wisconsin. As we talk about COVID vaccines, about mask wearing, what it means for gatherings this summer. Do you plan on going to a family reunion? Maybe you're planning a summer barbecue and want to know, you know, what protocols should be in place, what etiquette should be in place. 800-642-1234. Dr. Graham, are you there? I think we're still having difficulty hearing Dr. Mary Beth Graham, and we're going to work to get her on the phone here as we try to go through a bunch of questions about COVID and the impact of it has on our daily lives, what the summer might mean. Maybe you have a kid who's heading off to camp like I do and wondering how many masks to send and when will they wear those masks. Dr. Graham, are you able to hear us now?
I can hear you. I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay.
My computer mic just decided to
that's
go on strike.
We are talking about mask wearing and certainly the protocols around that when you're in a large gathering, whether that's at a concert or a barbecue or, you know, maybe your kid who is at summer camp. What are you thinking there?
So I think the CDC, when they came out with dropping the mask mandate, it caused a lot of confusion. It caused a lot of confusion in healthcare. It caused a lot of confusion for the public. And so what I hope to try to make some sense of it is the following. As we look at the current recommendations are if you are fully vaccinated, then yes, you can drop wearing the mask, again, when you're with family, when you're with other people, et cetera. But CDC also left a level of caution there that if you're going to be in scenarios where large gatherings where people you don't know whether they've been vaccinated or not, and then also specific places like hospitals or on public transportation, that wearing a mask would still be prudent. Having gotten the vaccine does not put a force field around people so that they can't get infected with the virus. So the virus can still enter somebody's body if they've been fully vaccinated. If it's one of the variants, and there are a couple of variants that are not as well protected or you're not as well protected against them with the vaccine, somebody could get sick and then potentially spread that to somebody else. So the issue of the masking is, again, fully vaccinated, you're in a known situation, known group of people, et cetera, drop the mask. But if you are going into situations, again, where larger crowds, et cetera, at least for the time being, please wear the mask. We're still having 300-plus cases a day in the state of Wisconsin. In the United States, I mean, there are still thousands of patients that are coming in with new infections with SARS-CoV-2 on a daily basis. So the virus isn't gone. And one of the other ways, not only getting vaccinated, is a way to, again, shut the virus down so that it doesn't have as can't as easily replicate in people to spread to other individuals. But if you're wearing that mask in those situations where you might come in contact with it, if you don't pick it up, as we say, the virus can't mutate. If it can't replicate, it can't spread, and we're going to essentially use those mitigation factors to, again, get those numbers down even further.
Let's go to Sally now in Madison with a question. Hi, Sally.
Hi. Thank you. My question is, I recently heard about this website called Veritas.com, and it makes claims that the COVID vaccines have numerous underreported, very negative side effects, which many people are dying and it's going underreported. How do I respond to people that say that? And is there any truth to that?
The answer is no. They're not people who are dying from the vaccines. There are, you know, so social media has it is a wonderful thing. It's also a dangerous thing. I'll just say it that way, because things can be propagated on social media, unfortunately, and sometimes propagate unfounded. We do know, as people have become vaccinated, that the vaccines are very, very safe. Again, as you look at some of the side effects that have been reported, like with the AstraZeneca vaccine in England, where there were, I think, 13 individuals they initially reported who had blood clots. But again, looking at the basically millions of people who've been vaccinated and then these 13 cases, I'm not undermining those, but we learn with everything that we give people, with medications. If you think about side effects from taking non-steroidals, okay, so let's talk about taking Advil. If you take Advil, take normal amounts, for most people it's fine, but it can put some people into renal failure. So does that mean we're never going to take Advil again? So I think it's a context issue, and there is so much emotion over this. Social media has taken on and run with it.
Infectious disease specialist Mary Beth Graham is with us for the hour, fielding your questions about COVID, what it means for summer travel plans. Are you vaccinated? Are you concerned that you won't be protected from new variants? How has your tween or teen, have they gotten their vaccine? Will they be participating in regular activities like summer camp or the pool? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. We're at the intersection of summer travel plans and the pandemic on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The CDC issued new guidance this month for fully vaccinated people to take off the masks. And CDC Director Rochelle Walensky acknowledged this change is hard since people have been locked down for so long. But she reiterated this week on the Federal News Network.
If you are fully vaccinated, it is safe to take off your mask in essentially all settings. Certainly there were some carve-outs, not during travel, not during in healthcare settings, not in correctional facilities, but for the most part, in all general public settings, it's safe for an individual who's fully vaccinated to take off their mask.
We have internist and infectious disease specialist Mary Beth Graham tackling your COVID questions this hour. Let's bring in Jean now in Winona, Minnesota. Hi, Jean, what is your situation?
Good morning. Our granddaughter, who is on a track team, was diagnosed with COVID after she heard one of her cousins and teammates became positive with COVID. Following that, we took our grandson, who is 16, into our home to kind of isolate him from her because he's in track as well. By the following Friday, this is Monday, by the following Friday, the mom, who is a teacher and fully vaccinated for the last 2 months, and she goes through repeated evaluations for COVID every week and a half. She and her older son, the young man that was staying with us, went in to be tested because she was having some sinus concerns, and he wanted to know if he could be in the track meet in the following week. When they went in, they found out that they were both, even though she's vaccinated, they were both positive for COVID. Our assumption is that it's probably one of the variants, and it really encourages us to continue to wear the mask when we need to or out in public. But my question is this. I had him staying with me for those 5 days from Monday through Friday, or 4 days, Monday through Friday. And my husband and I are both vaccinated, but we have gatherings, social gatherings, this weekend and next week that we've been invited to. We are thinking we need to decline because there's some people at risk within these gatherings. And since we really don't know, she was vaccinated, but we're vaccinated, but she became positive.
Yeah.
So
let's hear what Dr. Graham has to say.
I think it's interesting. CDC has said for people who are fully vaccinated, if they've been exposed, they don't need to quarantine. But as you've already expressed very eloquently, thank you for bringing this story. Again, being vaccinated doesn't prevent somebody from getting the infection. The main thing, one of the big things about COVID vaccines is that even if people do get infected, it prevents serious disease, and definitely with regards to hospitalization and deaths, it reduces those numbers dramatically. I applaud you for thinking about others and saying about declining until you're through that 14-day period. And I would do the same thing because I wouldn't know. And if you were asymptomatic, would I go get tested? This, again, the CDC is not recommending that people go and get tested. You may, if you really want to go to one of these, if you're 7 days out from that last exposure to either one of them, you could get tested. And if that's negative, essentially you shouldn't become positive after that time period. So that would also be a way that you could approach it.
Jean, does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And the good news is all of the symptoms are mild with the grandkids and my daughter-in-law, which is really good. Secondly, and I think it's made everyone more conscious around us, I have one daughter who has four children and says, I'm not going to vaccinate my kids because I'm worried about the side effects long term. The other one says, I'm going to fully vaccinate all four of my kids. So now the first daughter is reconsidering after watching what the other family is going through. Boy, maybe I need to get them vaccinated because of the long-term effects of getting COVID. So it's a dilemma out there.
That is, again, another great point. When I talk to people about risk and benefits of the vaccine versus when people say, oh, it's just a mild cold, you know, you get over it, you don't have much. It's not the way it is for everybody. When I talked to my colleagues here, I ran into one of my ear, nose, and throat otolaryngology colleagues yesterday. They are having patients like 5, 6, 8, 10 a day, and they've got patients on waiting lists to get in who have the chronic loss of taste and smell that is essentially debilitating for them. I've got colleagues in my pulmonary department who have people coming in with chronic shortness of breath after having this. I have colleagues in the psychiatry department, patients with depression and brain fog. So I am more concerned about the long-term effects of having the infection than the vaccine. Again, the data on the vaccine, incredibly safe when you look at the millions of people worldwide that have gotten this, but you look at the virus and you look at those long-term effects, there are so many more reports of death from the virus, so many more reports of side effects and long-term, long-hauler effects that you see from somebody who's been infected, and I would hope that people would take that into consideration and, again, roll up the sleeve, get that vaccine.
John in Appleton is with us with a question. John, what would you like to address?
Yeah, thank you for your services, everybody, and for each of you. So my wife and...
Oh, John, you're breaking up here a little bit. Try again. Go ahead.
So our entire family has been vaccinated, but our extended family isn't. Is there a website you could cite that I could refer folks to for more proof that they need to get vaccinated?
Oh, wow. So essentially, most of the data that, again, that we go off of is from the CDC. But if you have people who are already resistant to getting the vaccine, I think part of it is a frustration with just the way that I think a lot of people have frustration with the CDC. I do not, but I think that when recommendations change so much as we went throughout this, that would be a difficult website to give somebody. What I would say is, you know, the issue, I don't know about going to social media because, again, you're going to see everything that's there. People that are poo-pooing the vaccine to people who are having long-term side effects. So I apologize. I really don't have a good source on that one. And now I'm going to look for one for that if that question comes up in the future.
Dr. Mary Beth Graham, Medical Director of Infection Prevention and Control for Frederick Hospital. Are you a long hauler or battling COVID now? What questions do you have for the doctor? 800-642-1234. We'll be back after this news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. Now we're talking about summer travel plans, the CDC's guidance on mask wearing, the latest on how physicians are treating COVID patients. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Here's Dr. Anthony Fauci, the chief medical advisor to the White House, on CNBC last week.
Right now, things get a bit complicated because when people get fully vaccinated, as according to the CDC's latest recommendations, you can feel comfortable because of the high degree of effectiveness of the vaccines, that you would be safe without a mask, whether you are outdoors or indoors. The complication arises is that we're not uniformly vaccinated.
Are you unvaccinated? What are your circumstances? What questions do you have for the doctor? It's 800-642-1234. We have internal medicine specialist Mary Beth Graham. She's with us for the hour. Dr. Graham, we heard from Laura in Manitowoc, called in, couldn't stay with us, and is immunocompromised and is wondering how to navigate mask wearing, with a compromised immune system. Does it still help other people if other people aren't wearing masks?
So, yes. I mean, so the mask is one of those things that definitely for somebody who has a compromised immune system, and there are several different types of immune compromise that may prevent somebody from getting a good response to the COVID vaccine. So if she has gone ahead and gotten the vaccine, she may not respond as fully to it or get that antibody response as full as what some other person may have. So wearing the mask is, even with a vaccine, still adds that extra layer of protection. Or what we also know with some immunocompromised individuals, and these are usually our most immunocompromised bone marrow transplant patients, patients who've had certain types of treatments called CAR T-cell, those individuals, if they do get COVID, tend to shed the virus longer. So for most individuals, the virus is cleared and you don't find what we call replication competent virus being shed from somebody within about 10 to 14 days after they've had COVID, their initial symptoms. But for some individuals, immunocompromised patients, there have been studies done now that they're showing that they can shed, again, virus that could infect somebody else. That's what we mean by replication competent, for weeks and even months after their initial infection.
Months,
so,
wow.
Yeah, for months. I mean, it actually surprised. There's a lot where infectious disease specialists and CDC, the Infectious Disease Society of America has actually put forth requests to the CDC is, should somebody relook at, the question of how long somebody needs to be quarantined or how long to wear a mask or to protect other individuals with certain patient populations because they still could potentially spread the virus. So mask wearing does work.
Carolyn is joining us from Milwaukee. Carolyn, hi.
Hi. I have a question, two questions, actually. First of all, I'm vaccinated, and I still wear a mask for two reasons. And the first one is the question, if you have the vaccination, can you still get the virus in you, and can you have long-term effects if it stays in you, like heart problems or vertigo? That's my first thing. And then the second thing is I really am upset that this has happened for the sake of small businesses. I go to a grocery store where they've been wearing masks for since this began, and one time I called because I was upset one of the employees wasn't wearing a mask, and I talked to the manager, and she broke into tears because she said there were three people who came in and threatened her in the morning that she has all this trouble with people if she insists on their wearing masks when they come into the grocery store. And so all this does is just open up this whole new can of worms for people who are trying to manage a small business, because they have to now police these people who are belligerent. And so I'm wearing my mask even though I have my I feel so sorry for those businesses that have to do that.
Carolyn, thank you. You know, addressing the long hauler question first, Dr. Graham, can you be a long hauler and, you know, and be vaccinated?
Potentially. It would depend on if you got one of the variants, which would be more likely to break through. For the regular one, probably not, because your body's immune system would essentially get a hold of the virus and prevent it from making more of itself replicating in your body to then cause those other effects to different parts of your body. So that would be the thought process with that. I also am still wearing my mask. I mean, I don't mean to say this flippantly, but having gone through what many of us in healthcare went through, especially as an infectious disease specialist, having seen so many patients, it's almost like PTSD. And for me to take off my mask, it's very unnerving. And so even though I am fully vaccinated, I still continue to wear my mask when I am out in public or going to a grocery store or going to another business. Now, at work, when I'm with all of my colleagues and I know we're all vaccinated, we gather together without masks. So it's not that, and at home I do that. So I am totally comfortable there because I understand my environment. I understand the people I'm with. I understand what my risks are there. But in situations where I don't know what the risk is, I continue to wear my mask. Mm.
Katie is joining us in Wauwatosa. Katie is a massage therapist. Hi.
You know what? I'm just so glad I'm listening to this show, because what the doctor just said just prior to me getting on the phone, it just so reaffirmed that I'm going to wear a mask when I go to the stores. I'm not ready to completely take off my mask. But it kind of goes to the same point, is that I'm a massage therapist. I've been allowing people that have been vaccinated, I don't wear then a mask. We just do a normal massage. But I have some people that have been resistant to getting to the vaccine. And I was getting to the point where I was just going to tell them, I can't give you a massage because I have a problem with the mask. Like I've been getting eczema around my eyes. But I guess could I not wear a mask, but they have to wear a mask? Is that a possibility?
I mean, it is a possibility. We know that the best protection is with both people wearing a mask. But I mean, again, that is an option for that individual to wear a mask and for you not to wear one. I love my massage therapist. The last time I saw her, I'd been fully vaccinated. She had not yet, so we were both wearing a mask. I'm hoping to see her soon. I know she got her vaccine, and I'm really excited for the next time I see her because we won't be wearing our masks.
Oh, Katie, thank you for calling in. We also heard from Joel in Green Bay, who commented on our Facebook page saying, as a physician, I understand how well the vaccines work. Being fully vaccinated, I would not hesitate to travel, and I would wear a mask only when required. You know, Dr. Graham, you've been flying several times. What would you say about, you know, traveling and boarding a plane? Of course, masks are required. But what about those protocols in flight?
I think that they're actually, I think what they have right now in requiring masks for everybody who's on the plane is perfectly appropriate. Airplanes are a little bit different because the air handling systems are very, very good, bringing in, it's not recirculated air throughout the cabin throughout the whole time. There is air being brought in from the outside, so air handling systems are very, very good. What I thought was funny, the last time I flew, which was in March, you know, sitting there wearing my mask, they had they no longer require the seat in between people. So I was sitting next to a gentleman, and he kind of shyly looks over at me and goes, "I got the vaccine. How about you?" And I said, "Yeah, I got the vaccine." and then we were talking, and he asked me, you know, he goes, "What do you?" We were talking about stuff, and I told him I was an infectious disease physician. And so then at the end, he goes, "Oh, when I took my drink, did I take it down and put my mask back the right way?" And it was, I mean, again, it was one of those things. But one of the reasons I bring that up is that, and especially for the other question about the small businesses, I've heard a lot out there people saying it's a HIPAA violation for a small business to ask somebody if they've been vaccinated or to ask them to wear a mask when they come into their store. HIPAA applies to healthcare facilities. It doesn't apply to a business. It doesn't apply to a small business owner. And small business owners do have the right to ask people, you know, those things. If they want them to wear a mask when they come into their facility, they have that right to do that. And then the individual has the right to either go there as a patron or to not go there. And if they don't want to wear a mask, they should respect that owner and then go someplace else. I mean, I hate to say it that way. It's just be very respectful of each other. And it's as we go further, we will get to a point where it's going to, you know, it's a sense as the virus, you know, as we decrease the virus, as we decrease the number of cases, et cetera, we're going to get better. But this really is early. This is just at the time where we just took the Band-Aid off the wound. And we have had a big wound over the last year. And so for many people, we still have to move forward before there's more level of comfort.
What are your thoughts, Dr. Graham, on COVID becoming endemic, where an infectious disease is constantly present in our communities at like a baseline or a predictable level, like the flu or common cold?
So I personally believe that's what's going to happen. We already had circulating coronaviruses. There were four different circulating coronaviruses that are here in the U.S. that have been here for years and that we've screened for forever that cause the common cold. So for SARS-CoV-2, I do expect it to be something that we see, potentially seasonal with flu. Again, fewer cases in the summertime, potentially more cases in the wintertime. The question of will we need boosters or will we need a yearly vaccine, those are huge questions that if you'd asked me a month ago, I'd say definitely we need this. Now it's the question, will we really need the booster? There's a lot of, in the scientific community, there are questions about whether that will be needed, you know, come this fall. So I wish I had a crystal ball to answer those questions, but I listen to what's out there. I look at what's, you know, in the literature. I see what's happening. We look at our case numbers. And we are developing new tools against this virus.
And we're going to talk about those tools and specifically the therapeutics with Dr. Mary Beth Graham, internal medicine and infectious disease specialist at the Medical College of Wisconsin. She's fielding your questions on COVID, on summer travel, latest precautions, the therapies. Are you a long hauler fighting lingering effects for months and months? How are you getting help and what's working? What do you want to know about the latest therapeutic treatments to fight the effects of the disease? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We have internal medicine and infectious disease specialist Dr. Mary Beth Graham on the line as we explore safety in summer travel. We explore vaccination status, and Dr. Graham is fielding your questions about COVID for about 10 more minutes. So how has treatment for COVID changed as you've seen in recent months?
really the main treatments, and we've been stalled with treatment options for SARS-CoV-2. I mean, it kind of drives all of us crazy in the medical field. If people are hospitalized, we have steroids and an intravenous drug called remdesivir, which essentially blocks the virus from making more of itself. In the outpatient setting, we have the monoclonal antibodies that can be injected, and those have really been revolutionary, where somebody in the early stages of disease can come in and get an infusion of an antibody, which essentially is similar to what your body would make in response to the virus or what your body makes in response to a vaccine, to glom onto the virus and then prevent the virus from further replicating and causing more problems. We're really excited here at Frederick in the Medical College. I will be the principal investigator on a trial with a oral drug from Merck. Hopefully we'll be starting this trial sometime in June. And essentially it is a treatment very similar to what we do with Tamiflu. It's an oral medication twice daily for 5 days. It will be a placebo-controlled trial, so patients need to be within 5 days of the onset of their symptoms, and then they'll either receive that medication versus a placebo. But the early reports on it are really quite amazing in the way that it will stop the virus from replicating. And so I'm thrilled about this because even from a public health standpoint, if you have people who don't get vaccinated who become ill, if these trials show that this drug really is efficacious, we will have an oral medication that we could offer early on to people who show symptoms, which will, again, that would cut down on transmission. So again, if you get it early, you don't get as much virus, you're not spreading to as many people. I'm very, very excited. So wait to hear more from us.
Yeah.
I was very happy when Merck chose us as a site.
Yeah. So how sick would you be to be in the trial? I mean, if you're
outpatient.
This would be outpatient.
It's only outpatient.
Okay.
It's outpatient within 5 days of onset of symptoms.
Okay. How long might the trial go?
We'll be enrolling. The plan is they're hoping to have all of their enrollment done by the end of September.
Okay.
So we should be enrolling, hopefully we'll be enrolling in October, in June. And so there's a lot more that will come out on this. We, as I said, very, very excited.
Let's take another question now. Stacy is with us in Wisconsin Dells. Hi, Stacy. You own a small business. Hi.
Yep, I was just listening and wanted to call in. We have adults and teens at various stages of getting their immunization. And I'm just curious, my plan is to have everyone wear masks indoors until everyone is fully vaccinated. However, I'm wondering if that is still safe once they're all vaccinated to remove the masks indoors. And then we have an outdoor type facility where we have tourists come on in. Would it be recommended to wear masks when strangers and tourists are there, or should our staff be fine?
So, again, the current thought, and again, things do change, when you're outside and you're fully vaccinated, you should not need to wear a mask. Again, if you're in a situation where there are large numbers of individuals and you don't know their vaccine status, would it be prudent to consider wearing a mask? I think that's going to be a personal choice for the person who has been fully vaccinated. Indoors, if you have all of your staff that's been fully vaccinated, again, you can all be together indoors without wearing a mask. But again, depending on who's coming into your business, if you're having large numbers of individuals who are coming in, I would leave it to the individual if they feel comfortable wearing the mask versus not. I mean, I think the risk is profoundly low for those who have been vaccinated. Again, if you look at individuals, it doesn't prevent 100% that people can get infected with the virus. People still potentially can, but as the number of cases go down in the community, I think that those who are fully vaccinated, it would be safe to do that. But I would still let people, if they feel more comfortable wearing the mask. That's kind of the way that I look at it. I wouldn't mask shame somebody if they want to wear a mask.
And I'm thinking too, Stacy, the employees might be going inside and outside, back and forth, indoors, outdoors, and it might, you know, just how often you touch your mask, I would imagine, Dr. Graham, also is something to think about.
So it's always hand hygiene before you go toward your face. That's what we just say, is always hand hygiene before you go toward your face.
Yeah. Jessica is in Colgate. Hi, Jessica.
Hi. I'm a mom of two kids in the Germantown School District. And the school board just passed Monday night that kids don't need to wear masks anymore in school. And so just effective yesterday, you know, most of the kids aren't wearing masks. And as a parent, it's a hard decision, you know, mm-hmm. To weigh there. I was wondering if you have any thoughts on that.
I think this is probably one of the most difficult ones. If you're looking at kids, yes, they can still get the virus, they can still spread it, and many times they're asymptomatic. I think one of the main reasons for the masking initially was for not only so the kids wouldn't spread it between themselves, but the majority of the teachers have been vaccinated. It's such a hot button topic. I've wondered why people are pushing right here at the end when we've only got a month or so to go, why there's so much of a push to stop everything right now. But I respect the school boards. There have been a number of them who said they're going to keep it in place and a number that aren't going to do it, that are going to keep it in place, some that have dismissed it. I have my own personal feelings about it, whereas I just kind of wish that people would have left the masking in place until we get a little bit further along and we have more data. And just, it's such a short time to the end of the school year to have considered that. But that's my personal opinion, but I don't really like getting into political arguments.
Yeah. Dr. Graham, another question here. What about mixing two different kinds of the double dose vaccines, as in taking one Pfizer, one Moderna? Is there any benefit to that? Any harm?
Well, it's not recommended. So the issue is that if you start out with Pfizer, you should get your second shot with Pfizer. If you start with Moderna, you should get your second shot with Moderna. The only time that there's a recommendation for mixing between the J&J vaccine and the mRNA vaccines is if you got your first dose of your mRNA vaccine and had an allergic reaction to it, then you've been recommended to not get the second dose of that. CDC has said that you could get the one-time dose of the J&J vaccine, essentially, and then that would be your full series. So we don't recommend the mixing of the mRNA. Stick with the one you got to begin with.
Do you have any insights on when these vaccines might become available for younger children, infants, toddlers?
Probably for over the age of 6 months. I don't see that happening until the fall.
Okay.
At the earliest, at least from everything that I've heard, that's probably when that would happen.
We only have a few seconds left, but what are you hoping for in the future with this pandemic? What do you see in your crystal ball?
I think that one of the things that I've learned is that we all need to be thinking ahead at what the next pandemic is going to be. To be honest, influenza pandemics occur every 10 to 40 years, and we're coming due from 2009. Think about it. We could be getting ready for that. I'm encouraged by the research and the scientific community in terms of what they've been able to do so quickly with this. Mm. But I do think that we need to have infrastructure with public health and with our government and with our researchers and with the government just to be prepared, because another pandemic will come.
Dr. Graham, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Mary Beth Graham is an internal medicine and infectious disease specialist at the Medical College of Wisconsin. For Disclosure, Freidert Hospital and the Medical College of Wisconsin are WPR business sponsors. I'm Kate Archer Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.